Welcome to the Pensacola Expert Panel with Jenna Barr. This show is presented by Dr. Ben McMillan of the Neal Clinic, who's responsible for information and opinions expressed during the show.
Wow! I feel good. I knew that I wouldn't. I feel good. I knew that I wouldn't. So good. So good. I got to you.
Good morning. It's 9:06 here at News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. I'm super excited because Dr. Ben McMillan from the Neal Clinic is here. Good morning.
Good morning.
We're ready to have some fun.
Yes, absolutely, and thank you. Like Jenna said, my name is Dr. Ben McMillan with the Neal Clinic, and thank all of you guys for joining us this morning. All right, so last week we had some really good questions come in for the listeners, and I wanted to encourage all of you listening out there this morning, if you have a chiropractic question, send us a text message and I'll do my best to get to it during this week's show. I love it when somebody that's been wondering if this could, you know, chiropractic care could really benefit them is able to get that answer just by listening to this show in the morning. But, you know, I can't read minds yet, so help me out. Text in that question. What's the number they can send that to, Jenna?
Yeah, please join in on the conversation if you have a question or if you want to just chime in with a comment. 437-1620. That's 850-437-1620.
Awesome. So last week, I ran out of time during our discussion about this condition that I see all the time. It's called upper cross syndrome. So I'm going to cover a few common components of this, and I'll also give you some treatment recommendations that you can do today at home or at work that are going to help you not fall into this category of patients that I see. And I'll get into that in just a second. But first, I know I wrapped up my my weeks-long discussion on whiplash and auto insurance last week, but I've got some interesting news and updates about that, and I may have to revisit that topic during one of the next few shows. During the most recent legislative session of the Florida Congress, the House and Senate actually passed something called Florida Senate Bill 54. Probably doesn't mean a lot to very many of you, but this is something that I'd kind of been following pretty closely, and I can guarantee it's going to affect almost pretty close to 100% of our listeners. Anybody out there listening that drives a car and has auto insurance, well, if Governor DeSantis signs this bill into law, there's going to be some big changes to the auto insurance world that will begin in January of next year. And from what I've been hearing so far, it doesn't really sound like it's going to be good news. But I'll speak on that a little bit more once a decision has been made one way or the other. All right, now let's get back into upper cross syndrome. So most conditions I see in my clinic are typically going to fall into one or two categories. Either somebody has injured themselves in some sort of spectacular fashion, right? They fell off a ladder, had a car accident, or, you know, it's something that we can pinpoint exactly when all those symptoms began. Or they're going to have this slower, more gradual onset where things were initially just a little uncomfortable, but it would go away. But now it's gotten to the point where these symptoms are lasting longer. They're increasing in how intense they are. And this upper cross syndrome, it falls into that second category. Jenna, last week I asked you who you thought was at risk for this upper cross syndrome. And the answer was, do you remember what the answer was?
People like that sit at desks and are on computers and things like that, right?
Okay. Perfect.
All right.
Office workers, or I guess I should say home office workers these days. And this term upper cross syndrome was first developed in the late 70s. It was described as this predictable pattern of alternating muscle tightness and weakness in the neck and shoulders. And it occurs as a direct result of a posture that is this forward positioning of the arms and head, generally with that head looking down. It's what we call a flexor dominated posture, and unfortunately this typically begins as a child when you're in the classroom, right? You're told sit down, look straight ahead, you're working in front of you, you're doing all your desk work looking down, And that kind of progresses all the way through until you get a job. And now you're at this job, and that lasts for years. And most of those workstation jobs are going to require these prolonged static positions for several hours every day for years on end. And I'll tell you what, with the introduction of smartphones and tablets over the past few decades that are becoming more prevalent now at younger and younger ages, this syndrome is going to become so much more common. And so what occurs for this to happen is that the musculature that's responsible for bringing your arms forward and kind of raising your shoulders up and pulling your head down, that's your upper traps, the levator, your pecs, the SCM, those are going to become really tight over time because you're constantly in that forward flex position. And the muscles that are responsible for the opposite action, right? So bringing your shoulders back and down, bringing your head back into a more neutral position, well, those are going to become weaker and more elongated because of that same thing, that repeated posture over time. And the term upper cross was actually derived because when you draw a line through those muscles that are typically tight and another line through the muscles that are weaker and stretched, well, those lines form an X or a cross, and it's in the upper part of your body, so they called it upper cross syndrome. So what's the big deal, right? Doesn't really sound like a chiropractic issue. Got a couple tight muscles, had those before, doesn't really seem to bother me too much. A few stretches, so I'll be fine. Well, you know, that may be true if we catch this thing early. You know, sure, a good directed stretching and exercise program and combination with kind of modifying the way your workstation's set up, that's going to reduce the risk of developing any longer lasting effects that will develop as a result of this upper cross syndrome over time. But, and there's typically always a but, right? More often than not, we haven't stopped the problem early. And now you come into the clinic and you're experiencing symptoms that they've been getting progressively worse, and now you're having frequent headaches, maybe some discomfort in the neck or that pain right between the shoulder blades. And sure, the stretching and strengthening is going to be a part of that treatment plan for these patients as well, but another issue that arises after years of this forward flex position is the effect that it's going to have on the joints in your spine. Now we're talking chiropractic, right? These repeated postures and movements over time are going to lead to joint dysfunctions and abnormal movement patterns that are going to cause those joints that aren't moving properly to break down faster than other ones. And, you know, this isn't going to feel like it's going to cause any symptoms initially, but trust me, it's coming. And you don't want to wait until you've gone so far down that degenerative path that now you're having some nerve pain shooting down your arms and into your hands, because, you know, this isn't a pleasant feeling. I very rarely get patients that are going to walk into the clinic and they say, oh yeah, I have a 5-degree reduction in my right lateral flexion. No, that doesn't happen. They're actually even more surprised when they come in and I'm taking them through ranges of motion and having them do different things. And they say, oh wow, feels like I can't go quite as far on my right side than I can on my left side. And I say, oh, you're absolutely right. That's exactly what it looks like, isn't it? And this is where your chiropractor can help. The spinal manipulations that chiropractors like myself utilize, those are a directed force designed to restore the normal motion and alignment to your joints. Once you restore that motion and alignment, well, guess what? You've reduced the rate at which that joint is breaking down and degenerating. There's no pill, there's no fancy cream, no magic massage gun that's going to fix this problem. So if you just don't want to continue covering up that pain, please just go get a chiropractic opinion and see if there's anything we can do to help. Now, sure, we can't forget about the musculature and soft tissue that surrounds the spine. There's a lot of muscles that actually attach directly to your spine, and imbalances in those will eventually twist and pull your vertebra right back to where they were if we don't address them as well. And that's why chiropractic care often incorporates different modalities. We use massage and exercises. And I know I spend a lot of time with my patients as well, helping them identify and modify the actions and positions that are creating their discomfort to begin with. And, you know, how do you know if you have this condition, right? The diagnosis is initially a little different than a traditional, I'll say, structural diagnosis, right? There's no X-ray or MRI technique that's gonna that you're gonna have, and you're gonna get a report back that says, oh, you've got upper cross syndrome. This is more of a functional diagnosis that requires identification of those underlying factors that will eventually lead to the structural problems which will occur if you don't do something to fix your problem. And those structural things, well, that's going to show up on the X-ray or the MRI, that disc herniation, this arthritis in your neck. That's the stuff we're going to see, but you can fix this before it gets to that point. We had a couple questions come in. Yeah, this is a common one. Heat on a sore back, is it okay or not? If not, why? Okay. Heat versus ice, that's a really common one. I get it more often than not in wintertime because I'm a big proponent of ice. Very few times does ice really, really bother your back. The tricky thing with heat is that there's sometimes, we call them acute injuries, right? If you just really go out and hurt your back or you're spraining your ankle, you're not gonna wanna put heat on that. The reason is all about inflammation. Your body responds to any kind of tissue damage that it's going to have, any kind of injury, with an initial inflammatory response. Every time I say this word, inflammation, it's got that word flame kind of right in the middle there. You're not going to want to heat that stuff up. Use an ice pack. We've got great ice packs at the Neal Clinic. 15 minutes of ice is going to do you a whole lot of good. The heat, you know, it can sometimes kind of make this stuff worse. And sure, there's some conditions that it's okay to use some heat on. But again, as just a kind of the rule of thumb, if you go out and are working really hard and you say, oh, I hurt my back today, get that ice pack out, 15 minutes, 45 off. That's going to be a very helpful for your sore back in the short term. Okay, so I promised at the beginning of the show to give you some recommendations that you can use today that are going to help reduce your chances of developing those upper cross symptoms. And I'll get to that. But before I do, I want to do a quick little PSA about cell phones. And I kind of touched on it last week right as we were closing. But last week I posted a graphic on the Neal Clinic Facebook page that showed how the position you hold your head in while you're using your cell phone, how it actually affects your neck. And if you haven't gotten a chance to look at that yet, it's worth checking out. Because if you're one of those people that holds your phone down by your waist and you kind of drop your head down, almost like you're looking at your shoes while you're using your phone, you're putting a significant amount of stress on your cervical spine. And with the frequency and oftentimes the duration that many of us, especially that younger generation, are using cell phones and their tablets, this extra strain has been shown to result in early degenerative changes and an increase in those cervical disc herniations. Now, I believe this, but this isn't just my personal opinion on this matter. This is occurring at such a high frequency now that it's catching the attention of all sorts of different types of doctors in the medical field. I don't know if it was later that morning or maybe the next day that after I put up that graphic, but I came across this study from January 2021. So brand new study in the Journal of Orthopedic Science. So these are orthopedic doctors that are looking into this stuff. And they found statistically significant correlations between excessive smartphone use and the incidence of cervical disc herniations versus those that didn't meet that criteria for the excessive smartphone use. And these were, the median age of these people were 32 years old, I think. I mean, they had kids in there as young as 18. I mean, these were not people that, you know, had degenerative disc disease yet. This was disc herniations that were statistically significant correlated to their cell phone use. And I believe we're going to see more and more types of these studies because this stuff is becoming a real problem. Kids are beginning to use these devices at younger and younger ages, and the time spent on them, it's just going up dramatically. And make sure that you're using that phone, if you have to, keep it up by your chest or up in front of your head so you can keep your head in a more neutral position and take more frequent breaks. I mean, this stuff is going to cause such a problem, and when these kids start growing older, if they don't start fixing this stuff now. All right, that's my PSA for cell phones. And you know, parents, if you needed just another excuse to get your kids off the phones and tablets, well, there you go. Tell them Dr. Ben said it's damaging their neck if they're in that wrong position for a really long time. So we had another question come in. Other than accidents, what are kind of the top three ways or symptoms that show that I need to come in and see a chiropractor? Okay, this is a good one. Mm-hmm. Yeah, accidents are, that's a big one. That's easy. Yeah, I hurt myself. One of the questions that I deal with a lot is people say, once I start seeing a chiropractor, do I always have to go back, right? Well, this question, like, other than a food allergy, are there any reasons that I need to eat healthy, right? Like, mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't feel bad. Do I need to eat healthy? Of course you need to eat healthy. Right. Kind of the same thing with chiropractic care, right? Like, if you wait till you're having pain, or that I say, hey, you're having this symptom, you really need to go get checked out by a chiropractor, it's probably a little too late for you to really reduce the amount of arthritic change or those mm-hmm. joints. I mean, there's still things we can do to help stop that degeneration, but if you stop it before it happens, that's the key. So I guess one of the things is everybody needs to be doing stretches. Everybody needs to be and just taking care of your body. I mean, your muscles are organs. If you went to your cardiologist and he said, hey, you need to take this pill for your heart, no one thinks twice about it. But if you go and your doctor says, oh, you need 30 minutes of exercise every day, yeah, most of us say, sure, whatever, and we just get out of there. This is important stuff. That's kind of the chiropractic and physical therapy model. Exercise, diet, and getting those joints to move. So top three, I guess, not really the best answer there, but most people can really benefit from some chiropractic care. Even people that are I've had a couple patients come in recently that are hypermobile. I mean, these are you may not have had that diagnosis where somebody told you you're hypermobile, but if I ask you to bend down and touch your toes and you put both palms on the floor in front of me, yeah, that's you. That you're the one I'm talking about. You know, if your elbows bend back the wrong way when you stretch your arms out, hypermobility. And so these are patients that I'm not necessarily even adjusting them every time they come in because their joints are moving too well. But what we work with those patients on is adding some stability and strength, because if that patient that's hypermobile, well, if they get into that accident and their ligaments are just, predisposed to being a little more lax, like mobility's on a spectrum like most everything else, and they're just on the more mobile side of that, we work on building stability and strength in their joints and in their spine. So if they do have those accidents, they're able to withstand that much, much better than if they weren't doing these things before. And again, very few people come in and say, hey, I got this problem of hypermobility. They say, hey, watch this. That's the one that I
get. They show off.
They do. They love when I say bend forward and they just plant those palms on the floor. And
I'm a little jealous, I'm not going
to
lie.
Yeah, my toes, I'm tall. So they're just too far away for me to get to. I can't reach them either. Okay, so back to some tips about helping prevent developing that upper cross syndrome. Many of you have desk jobs that require you to work at your computer, right, for a long portion of the day. Even if you get up every now and then to do something else, you've got at least a couple hours at a time of that computer work. And sure, many companies nowadays are trying to provide that adequate ergonomic environment to work from. I'm going to give you my advice today for your workstation or that new home office you're working at home. The first one, bring your computer monitor close enough to where you can see it without having to lean forward. I can't tell you how many times I've seen people do that big lean. Yeah, Jenna's doing it right now. Get that. If you have trouble reading that small text, which happens on websites, Word documents, email, bring that thing forward. Don't have to lean just to be able to read. And speaking of the screen, that top line should be just below your eye level, like lining up at eye level, just below that is the top of your screen. Don't have to force yourself to look down all the time at your screen. Making phone calls, especially those longer ones, because you're now working from home, some of these meetings are Zoom, get some Bluetooth headphones or something that's gonna And make sure you don't have to do that. I got my phone tucked between my shoulder and my ear. I mean, that's a no-brainer. Everybody's done that, and we know it's going to hurt your neck after a while. To set up that mouse and keyboard, just kind of relax your shoulders, let them drop, and then just bend your elbows at 90 degrees. That position is where your mouse and keyboard should be, so you don't have to move your arms up really high or bend your wrists to reach that stuff. I mean, I'm sure a lot of people have worked with people that have carpal tunnel, right? That wrist bending, that chronic mouse use with that right hand for most of us, that's a big one. Same thing with the legs. Keep those hips and knees at 90 degrees. You don't want to have don't sit on your legs. Don't do those weird positions. Keep the feet flat on the floor, right under those knees. That's going to be a really good thing. One more thing for the chair, the lumbar supports. I know a lot of chairs these days say they have this built-in lumbar support, and cars do as well. Typically, it's just not enough. I've used a throw pillow, or I'll roll up a big blanket or towel and put that behind my back on like long car trips or even working at a desk. They sell stuff on Amazon that's really inexpensive. That's just a mesh little lumbar support that you just slip on. It's elastic. I've had a ton of patients that I've recommended those to say they love these. They bought a couple extra ones just because they liked how well they felt. And you can slide these things on and off. If you have company over, just put them in the closet. It's not something that you have to buy some $2,000 chair to do. The biggest thing is inactivity is the biggest threat to you guys that are workstation users. And I'm not talking about that you have to have some 15-minute long stretching break every hour, and sure, that'd be great. But you can start small. Set a timer. This can be something that's as easy as taking a 20-second break every 20 minutes. I did the math. We're talking 8 minutes a day at the end of the day in an 8-hour workday. And you don't have to do a lot. This is just, they use the term micro activities. Stand up. Like, get up from your desk. Just stand and stretch a little bit. Walk around your desk, walk around the office 20 seconds. I mean, you'd be surprised how far you can get in a quick little 20-second break. Move your head in a plus sign direction, right? Nod yes up and down and left and right like you're saying no. Do a couple stretches, right? Pull your shoulders back and down, kind of roll them forward a little bit, and then breathe. Take a breath. It's just that easy. 20 seconds. Can you give me 20 seconds every 20 minutes? It's pretty easy. One last thing that I wanted to touch on today's show. I was very fortunate to talk with one of my patients yesterday, and I just kind of wanted to share this quick story with everybody. It's not really a chiropractic thing, but I like to touch on this stuff because it is so important. And the reason I say I was just so fortunate to talk with him was because over the weekend, this gentleman happened to have a stroke. He was in actually really good shape. No history of strokes, no heart problems, no history of high blood pressure. Overall, pretty good health, and only in his early 60s. He just happened to wake up on Saturday morning and had difficulty seeing out of his left eye. And I can't tell you how fortunate he is that his family acted so quickly, brought him straight to the emergency room. Because while it may have seemed, you know, oh, this is just something weird, I'll go to the eye doctor on Monday, well, this was a blood clot in his brain that could have resulted in something much, much worse if he hadn't gotten emergency care right away. There's a couple easy, quick things to look for signs of a stroke. You know any of the stroke signs, Jenna?
I know a couple of them, like starting to be limp in the face, yeah. Slurring of the speech, right?
There you go.
A couple of them, okay.
We're running short on time, so I'll go through these quickly, but it's be fast. The B is balance, sudden loss of balance or dizziness. E is your eyes, like my patient had, difficulty seeing out of one or both eyes. F is that, like Jenna was saying, that weakness or numbness in your face, typically just on one side. You're going to see that kind of droopy in the eye, droopy on your lips. And same thing, A is for arms, weakness or numbness that's a sudden onset with your arm. S is speech, if you're having trouble slurring those words. T is time. Go to the emergency room. I'm Dr. Ben McMillan with the Neal Clinic. We're on Creighton Road, right across the street from Walmart. Give us a call at 479-SPINE or online at neilclinic.com.